What is up, everyone? This is Press X to Start Podcast, Season 5, Episode 8. We are here at Press X to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved and protected point of view. Restorative justice for the underrepresented programs, developers, and consumers. I am your host, DJ, a.k.a. Sexy Bad Choices, a.k.a. Did you know? This breaks my heart. But you can get Anthem, the game, for a steal for only 3 cents.
Are they giving you the 3 cents? Or?
Yeah. I mean, like, so is it literally 3 cents?
It's three. Like, I saw
on the PlayStation Store.
No, like the physical copy. Someone posted on Reddit Anthem subreddit, and it was like they got it for 3 cents, and it's just like
Anthem.
Anthem, the game, physical copy.
Okay. So, who are they teaming up with exactly?
What? Oh,
who are they teaming up with?
For 3 cents, you could team up with anyone, Sean.
All right.
Anyone, Sean?
Well, I mean, like, yes, it's just that one store. Like, it's not like across all Best Buys or across Targets. It's just that one store. All right. You know what?
You might be able to get it for a more discount.
I've seen video games sold at record stores and, you know, like random, like, what's that? For Your Entertainment when that was around. So, you know, they price it at 3 cents and it's going to be 3 cents. So
I remember a time when you could find Madden in 7-Eleven.
Oh, okay. That was the time. Speaking of remembering, who are you?
I am Sean MF Ross.
What the MF stand for?
Made Fresh.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, like Subway?
Yeah, that was the alternative, but they chose to go with Eat Fresh for some reason.
Yeah, you're right.
Sons of bitches. I ain't getting my royalties.
Last up.
And your boy Jordan, a.k.a. JXBot, a.k.a. Jordan the Guardian. A.K.A. Jordan, the ultimate police enforcer. A.K.A. Jordan Most Wanted.
A.K.A. Jordan Blue Lives Matter. Get the fuck off this podcast.
Well, you'll see why I'm called the ultimate enforcer in a second, because I truly believe now, based on the quality improvements to these games over the past couple months, I am gaming at a next gen right now. These games look amazing.
Oh, okay.
Amazing.
I'm happy for you. My PS4 still works, so, you know.
All right. Well, sorry to hear that.
What we're not sorry for is what we've been playing. So first up, Jordan, why have you been naming yourself all these things? What have you been playing?
Well, I hopped back into Destiny literally this morning, and it's just so much fun. I think this is the first time I played Destiny in ever since I got my Series X. I played it a little bit after and I saw the quality improvements, but I was playing it at 1080p.
Yeah.
Now I'm playing it at 4K, 60 frames per second. They had a new update which had additional quality life improvements, and the game is just gorgeous. But I had to mess around with the brightness settings at times, because at one point, I think it's mainly because of the location I'm in right now, which is the moon, which is a fairly darker environment.
Yeah. So, like, those darks will, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, okay.
Even though, like, I have a Samsung 4K QLED, which recently announced a partnership with Xbox Series X, with Xbox itself. So, like, they're trying to gear more of their visual settings towards those monitors. And I lucked out. Because, man, I'm not going to go back get a new monitor, you know, just because they had a partnership with, like, Toshiba or, you know, LG or something like that. I just lucked out. I did not anticipate the Samsung partnership to be a thing.
Hey, that works.
And Destiny's still amazing. People are still playing it. I'm still able to matchmake with fire teams and stuff like that. It's just fun. I mean, like, it's a game that had a lot of longevity.
I mean, I would assume so is free to play now. So, I mean, a lot of people are still playing it. They still got in the at least five digits, you know, close to 100,000 people playing. I don't know how many.
Sure, there's
more.
The DLCs, I still believe, cost money. But through Game Pass, the DLCs for Destiny 2 are free. So I've just been going through the DLCs right now.
All things Game Pass.
Hey.
Possible, huh?
Oh yeah. Right. If you throw money at it, anything's possible. So that's the first game I'm playing. Also, you know, still playing Yakuza, and now, to my surprise, I'm totally new to the series, there are two protagonists. Like, so I'm like a chapter 3 right now. I don't know how many chapters there are, but I switched away from Kiryu, which was like the, you know, ex-Yakuza, who's trying to basically exonerate his mentor for a crime that they did not commit, stuff like that. The story is weird. I mean, it's still funny. It's so hilarious. The story is like Japanese real estate during the 1980s, and it's just all over the place, to be honest. But I switched over to a new character called Majima, also a badass, you know, for Heart of Gold, but a little more sinister because they're a Yakuza trying to get back in. They're an ex-Yakuza that was kicked out because of they were trying to protect their brother or something. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, super nice, but psychopathic, though. He's called the Grand Entertainer. Like, he runs, like, the best club in Osaka.
Okay.
And what he does, he is, like, demented in the thought of the customer's king. Like, he will never, ever attack. He will degrade himself for the customer, to which everyone's just uncomfortable. They're like, whoa, bro. Hmm. Like, what is your... Like, but, like, he's so lethal, though. Like, he can kill everyone in the room, but he's like, well, thank you for your service. May I pour champagne on my head now? Or something like that.
Yeah,
just
okay.
Crazy. And the game is hilarious. When I talk to Yakuza people in the past, they're like, you gotta play this game. I was always like, oh, what's the big deal? I am seeing it. It is just hilarious and lighthearted, just honest fun. So, you know, please check out Yakuza 0, people. I'm becoming a Jehovah's Witness for this series right now. I'm going around saying, have you heard of Kiryu? Have you heard of Majima? Right. Well, I have something for you. Right. and quickly, I beat High Busters, you know, beautiful game.
Gears 5,
ending.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Gears 5's DLC, which is like 5 hours long. It pushed the current Unreal Engine to the max. Now I'm super excited to see what the Coalition does with the next Unreal Engine, which will be with the next Gears, will come out probably like 2-3 years from now. Maybe right. Announcement next year. I don't expect an announcement this year. But the characters they introduced in this DLC further fleshed out the story. They were fun. They were impactful. And this is the story of two developers. You know, you had 343 with Halo, did not know how to do character development. Characters that are presented were thrown to the wayside. Locke, Palmer, all these, you know, new cool Spartans. I don't give a fuck about them.
Yeah.
Gears, on the other hand, has all these new characters that have awesome stories and great personalities that play off so well with each other. So hopefully the Coalition, you know, as some news came out that they are coming in to help out 343, can help imbue some of that good character development on 343 before it's too late. Because a lot of shit's riding on Infinite this year, my guy. Right. They cannot settle below a 9, straight up. I'm calling it right now. And finally, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. You know, I talked about this game in the past. Just trying to get the maximum rank of Ultimate Police Enforcer.
Yeah.
And because recently they had a patch for Series X and PS5. Locked 4K, 60 frames per second. It looks amazing. Like before, it was kind of weird. Like, I was playing it on the Series X, like, no longer than 2 months ago. This patch really made it feel less like a port from the Xbox One and more of an official, like, this is what it's meant to be in 4K, 60 frames per second. And it is amazing.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been playing.
Okay. That's what's up. So actually, for Need for Speed, are you just doing, like, random races, or are you doing, like, the campaign kind of thing?
Well, yeah, like, it's kind of weird, because, like, there isn't really a campaign. There's a world that they've built, and you're just, like, this nameless, you know, police officer, nameless, you know, street racer going around and stuff like that. But once I finish the offline content, then I move on to online, because I'll have faster cars and more capable, you know, gadgets that I gained through the offline section, like, you know, level 3 spike strips, level 3 helicopter enforcement, level 3 blockades and stuff like that. You don't want to go in online with level 1 shit. You'll get rinsed. That's what I remember. I maxed out my rank way back when on the 360 with this game.
Dang. All right, next up, Sean.
I barely remember that game. I played Spelunky 2, and I finally beat it.
Really?
Nice.
This is a, disclaimer, this is a roguelike, so beating it. they have multiple endings, but I mean, I finally got to the first basic ending after 6 months of playing this shit.
Okay.
Mind you, if you know what you're doing, it should only take an hour and a half. Less than that, I think.
Really?
Yeah. It's just
Deep Spelunking? Is that like a speed run?
No, that's just a regular ass run if you do it in an hour.
Oh wow.
Because I mean it's a set of think of like Sonic or Mario where you have different worlds. You have, you know, world 1, 2, 1, 3, okay. 1, 4. Then it switches to 2, 1, 2, 2.
Yeah.
There are only about like 4 or 5 that you have to go through for the baseline ending.
Interesting.
The game is just that hard that it took me 6 months.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm ever going to get to those levels that the fine the folk online showed me. Yes. I'm trying.
Damn.
I'm trying.
But was there like a trick they were able to do that allows you to get to those areas? Or did they have something unlocked? You know, like some type of gadget that allowed them to do
it? You can unlock everything from the very beginning because there is nothing. It's not like some other roguelikes where you unlock certain things and then it carries over to... Only thing you unlock is new characters, but everybody has the same moveset. Anything different is just aesthetic. You know, they have a different rope that they climb up or some, you know, shit. There's nothing that you unlock. It's just that throughout the way, you may pick up a certain item, carry it over here, carry this to the next level, et cetera, et cetera. They have the Ankh. They have the Eye of Ujjat. They have like a bunch of Egyptian-themed items. They have the Excalibur in there. They got mounts that you can ride. You know, some teleport, some spit fire. It's just a lot in this game.
Is it hot fire?
Dylan is nowhere present in this game.
Dylan.
Almost bought it.
But no, the game is just that hard. But it's still my go-to game when, like, I can't play something multiplayer because I can just... I know I'm going to die in, like, 5-10 minutes anyway. So, I mean, I can just bust out a run while waiting, you know, for something.
Gotcha. Because
I hate to waste people's time trying to get online and then the baby woke up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I get that, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just play it a lot just because it's easy to pick up, play, die, pick up again, play, die.
Right. Okay.
But other than that, I was playing Remnants from the Ass.
Hey.
Ash is... So, fun fact, I thought this game was 4-player online. No.
I did too.
It is 3-player online. So, me, DJ, Marcus, and Cameron all got on. And I had to leave, I guess, to take care of the baby. And I got back and they were playing. I'm like, hey, guys, invite me. Wait. It looks like there are only 3 spots. All right, I guess I'll play by myself for a little while.
I mean, is this game free to play?
No.
It was free. It's free this month on PlayStation Plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this game is the Dark Souls game with guns, essentially.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
But not every enemy is hard as Dark Souls. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
In Dark Souls, every enemy has the, you know, possibility to fuck you up.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not careful, it's a little bit more forgiving in this game.
Yeah, it's weird though because it's Dark Souls, but in a different way. It's Dark Souls in a way that the game will punish you for being good. So there's a mechanic in the game where if you are killing the enemies efficiently and you're getting through, a sound cue will trigger, and that will mean that there's gonna be a horde of enemies coming at you, and it's just like. Okay, so you deal with them, and then the game is like, you did a little too good on that.
You didn't have enough. Here you go.
Exactly. It will send more.
Which is funny, Jordan, because I was playing by myself for a little while DJ, Marcus, and Cameron were playing, and I was playing this desert level by myself, and the game just kept on throwing enemies at me. Right? I didn't understand it. And then I started playing with DJ, and I'm like, yo, there was more people here last time. I don't understand what the fuck is going on. There was a dude over here, a dude over there. He's like,
and like that's one of the things that could be like super frustrating, but also really cool about the game is that the encounters vary so much. Because like we were actually, me, Sean, and Cam were supposed to play last night. Cam was actually supposed to be on this podcast, but he had daddy duties today, so he couldn't. But me and Cam ended up playing last night, and we got to a point where. So the game also has like elite versions of enemies, and those elite versions have like special skills attached to them. Like some can summon more enemies, some can light themselves on fire and like run after you and like melee you while you take burn damage. And we got into a loop where Cam went down, I killed one of the elites, and then the game was like, you can take more pain, and it sent another wave of enemies with an elite. I took that elite out, and the game was like, you can take more pain. And I'm just like, you need to stop. So I ended up dying because I, like, at that point, I had like nothing left. I was out of ammo on both my guns, and I'm just like, all right, you win. You fucking win, game.
Yeah, and then you have limited revives, kind of, because you have these, what they call Dragon Hearts, Jordan. I think you start out with 3, you can upgrade to 4, but basically, that's like your oh shit, you know, save myself button that'll give you full health again, and it doesn't recharge until you get to a checkpoint.
Right.
Which, by the way, when you use the checkpoints, though, it respawns all the basic enemies again.
Yeah.
Okay, that is like Dark Souls, then.
Yeah, and then also, with those Dragon Hearts, if you revive someone, you use a Dragon Heart to revive that person. So like,
you have one less now.
Exactly. So you have to decide, like, do I really want to revive people? Cam to come back?
He's dragging the team down.
That does sound like a, like, you know, because like there's been so many iterations, I would say, of Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Souls type.
That does sound like one that takes that template and, you know, makes sure that it fits with the game that they're designing, I guess.
Yeah, and I say that they do. I feel like that game is a very good game, and it was very much so buried in the rest of the games. I think it came out in 2018, but like,
no, 2019. I just don't really remember it being promoted all that much, other than y'all talking about it.
Right, right. Yeah, so that was fun. I actually did some research before we all jumped in to play it, because when me and Cam played it so long ago, we just kind of played it without really like doing research and thinking about like, all right, well, how can we min-max this game? Turns out that there was a SMG or a machine gun that you can get very early in the game that I had no idea, and
that makes it easy.
Yo,
easier.
Oh my gosh. But then like, when I was watching those videos, there was people who like beat the game and they had all these different guns that did like crazy stuff, and I'm just like, so that's the potential of this game. Like, me and Cam when we were playing, Cam and I, yes, you're right, yes.
Wow.
Proper English. I love that. We got to a boss where we literally could not beat the boss. It was at the point where we were like,
I mean, you can beat the boss by ending its world and turning off the game. It's like,
right? The best way to win is to not play.
Did I really lose?
Like, we literally considered, we beat the game. We beat as much as we could of the game. That's it. That's all.
Ignore the giant undefeated boss over there. You're right. I mean, like, what was preventing you from beating them? Not enough ammo?
For lack of better
words. Go ahead and say it. It was Cameron.
For lack of better words, it was just the level of difficulty and the amount of skill and patience that we needed to beat that boss.
But it was just you too.
It was just us.
Yeah, so, yeah. It's easier with 3 people. Just,
yeah, like the damage output probably wasn't high enough.
Not even damage output, just to have somebody to distract the other bosses.
Yeah,
and you know, take aggro and all that.
Yeah. So that boss. Go ahead.
I was looking to see. So the reason this got overshadowed is because Control came out the very next week.
There we go.
Okay.
There we go. Yeah. But yeah. So just real quickly, that boss in particular was actually considered one of the harder bosses in that game.
What did it do?
So when you first encounter the boss, you're on a pretty narrow bridge, and that's your entire play space for fighting the boss. And the boss is like this floating bug-like creature that's in front of you, and it shoots like homing stuff. It shoots like a laser you have to dodge. It does that typical stuff. But then once you get the boss health to like 50 or so percent, another version of that boss spawns behind you. So now you have to deal with
two
of these similar bosses at the same time, and you have to juggle between focusing fire on one and then dodging stuff from the one behind you and then turn around focusing fire on that. And it's just like, nah, man.
I could totally see why this is difficult with you and Cam, especially.
I said the same thing, Jordan, but Cam took offense.
Because I mean, like, you both had to, you know, get better, get good against the boss mid-fight.
And it was one of those things where at that point, we pretty much like cycled.
I got my money's worth.
Which is no like, money. You didn't pay for it. So you're fine.
They paid for it like some suckers.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oof. Back then, yeah. Oof. But like we cycled through all the weapons, through all of our abilities, like all whatever perceivable, like all like, any like ideas or like plans or whatever. We just went through all of them. We're just like, all right.
So you didn't go online to see an 8-year-old in Kansas that beat it by himself? Which is usually always happens.
But it's funny that you say
or
that.
Japan, because this was very good selling in Japan. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, y'all were going in blind though, DJ.
So what?
Y'all were going in blind though.
Yeah, exactly. Like when I looked at one of the videos, like the video actually talked about fighting that boss in particular, and one of the
hey guys,
strategies.
This is Justin Plays. This is how you beat the boss. You have to hit him right here.
Go ahead, all DJ. Right. Go ahead, DJ.
But the strategy that the YouTuber had was when you start the game, you drop down the first boss health down to about, you take about like 25% of its life. Then you turn around and you shoot the hive behind you and you trigger that second boss earlier. And I'm like, man, fuck you. Like, what? That's your strategy? No, thank you.
I mean, y'all probably didn't try all the combinations. Like, me and you tried the damn... There was a section, Jordan, where the shaman or whatever was selling you some beef jerky, for lack of a better word. He said, be quiet now. These dogs, you know, are going to get you if you wake them up. And I think DJ put on these spikes that were supposed to reflect damage, and they didn't do shit all. And we struggled maybe like 10 times back-to-back. Until I switched to a shotgun with fire damage.
Yeah.
And it was over in less than 30 seconds.
Yep.
So it's always something you just...
Again.
Combination you didn't try. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. See, and that's the other thing too, is like, because this game is... One, it's situational based. And then you... Sometimes you just don't have stuff. And then once you do... Because like, they've upgraded the game since when we played to now. So it's just like... There was just more, there's more tools available now. So actually that boss might be a little easier to do whenever we get to it, if we get to it. Because there's also another boss before that that's also a problem.
I mean, we could play after this. We could play after recording shit.
I'm down with that.
Anyway.
All right. Well, that has been what we've been playing. But before our regularly announced sponsor, we have a leg update. The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen's Fantasy Critic update. So there's been enough games to release that we actually got points on the board. So I'm just going to read off the points.
And some of us have negative points on the board, but go ahead.
No, not some of us, Sean. One of us.
The last of us.
So first up, Douglas is sitting pretty with 15 points. Followed by Sean with 13 points. Jordan, 8
Douglas,
points.
Douglas cheated. I don't
know. You know what? I said that was one hell of a get. You know, I think in the year, we're probably, you know, get a more comprehensive understanding of what games we chose and why. But that game came out of nowhere. That with those points, that shit was crazy.
Yeah, I believe his get was the Loop Hero game.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know what that was.
What the hell a Loop Hero is?
Yeah. But it scored him 15 points. Marcus has 4 points. Cam is sitting pretty at 0 points because Cam has not bought a single. I actually meant to ask him about this yesterday.
Yeah, he quit, man. He's not cashing the board. He's mad. <though. laughs>
And the real first place winner is myself, sitting at -7 points.
So for those listening, what DJ has to do to get to 0 points is what DJ would have to do to get 1 point is find a game that has 8 points. To get up to 7 points, find a game that makes 14 points. So he's in a hole right now. We'll see how it works.
I made a move yesterday at like, 11:30 or something, before midnight. I dropped Little Devil Inside, and I got the Pokemon Brilliant
Snap.
Diamond and Shining Pearl. Yeah, I already got Pokemon Snap, so.
Is it coming out on Switch or what?
Yeah, it's Switch late 2021. So
I didn't know if it was like a fucking 3DS shit or something.
Right. No, yeah. But yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll fucking see what happens. Boy, I need some points.
See, the issue with Cameron is that 75% of the games he drafted probably aren't even going to come out this year.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah. But with that, we will have a word from our sponsors. And today, our sponsors is Press X to Start's YouTube and IG channel. So make sure you check out our latest video where we ramble about WandaVision, because that will be fun.
WandaVision!
Yeah.
What's good, y'all? Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure that you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, and most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, then tell three people about the podcast. Could be strangers, friends, loved ones, hated ones, your Uncle Jim, I don't know. Every little bit helps. And after you've done that, please follow us on Facebook at Press X Number 2 Start, Instagram at Press X Number 2 Start, Twitter at Press X Number 2 S, and YouTube at Press X to Start TV. And if you've already done all this, well done. Platinum trophy achieved.
And we're back. Now it is time for the quick hits. DJ, take it away. Yeah. Number one, this comes from VGC. A leaked Elden Ring trailer is being circulated online. Did you get to see this?
I've never heard of this game before.
Okay.
It was so blurry. I looked at maybe like 10 seconds of it. I'm just like, what's the point?
Yeah. So it was weird because when it released, Jason Schreier actually came out and said that this game was being canceled. Mm-hmm. And apparently the game director, I forget his name, but like the game director kind of confirmed it to him that, yeah, the game's being canceled. But then he kind of backtracked on that whole statement.
He was joking.
What? Who was joking?
Jason Schreier? The person that said, oh, well, they got to cancel it now. Yes, he was being sarcastic.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Well, in terms of the actual content, it looks interesting. After seeing the leak footage, I am more excited for that game than I was when I first saw the first thing of the weird looking person with the helmet holding his arm.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, we'll see when this is actually a full-fledged thing, if it is a full-fledged thing, but whatever. Number two, this comes from Game Bible. Doom Eternal has made almost $500 million at least. Mm. So
why is that so important?
Because it's a single player with no microtransactions or loot boxes.
Incredible.
So in their first 9 months, they actually made $450 million. That's really, really awesome. I think.
And I contributed 60 to that.
Take my money.
I kind of want to play it.
Yeah. So alongside this news, there was also news where Doom Eternal director. So basically, they thought about having the Doom guy actually being Doom girl, Doom lady, Doom woman, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Hugo Martin, who is the director, said that if they did change the gender of the character, he'd want it to be lethal. I think it's interesting how it would impact the glory kills and the weapons that she would have.
Mm-hmm.
And although, of course, the game would be the same glory template, the type of personality she would display would be a different type of aggression.
So I just want to say something about this. So glory kills between Doom 2016 and Doom 2020, 2016's glory kills are way better, in my opinion. So it's like, when I hear him say, we want to make sure the glory kills are more impactful, I'd imagine they want to also scale up the current environment of glory kills, the current style of glory kills they have right now.
Yeah.
But in terms of weapons, I'm like, why would a woman Doom, you know, wield different weapons than a guy Doom?
Like, yes. Thank you. Like, that's actually the same thing that I was kind of thinking too, is like, why would there have to be a difference in terms of the weapon? A gun is a gun. It doesn't have to be ergonomically different for a woman versus a man.
Like, how do we know it's already not a woman?
What, Doom guy?
I think you see his face, yeah. Right?
No, he's a guy. He's a man. You see him?
Yeah. At one point, he actually pulls his dick out and he starts swinging it around. And
no.
Oh, Jesus. How many demons does he kill with that?
You can tell, one, by his physique. You can tell by his voice. And
I don't think you can say physique necessarily, but go ahead. Voice, sure.
No, I mean, like, well, as I played the game, and you see, like, you see his avatar, like, he's a man, like, you see his pecs. You see how his body is built. I mean, like, it's...
Women can have bodies like that, man.
No, I know, but you can tell by his face, you can tell by his voice that it is a man.
I said Sean poking fun.
I mean, Sean said he didn't want to play the game, but as someone that played the game,
right,
it's very clear that, you know, Doom is...
I want to play it, I just don't want to pay for it.
But like, if I totally
like most
understand,
things in life, I want a Tesla, but I don't want to pay for it.
I totally understand why they want to make sure to have a more impactful expression of a woman, I guess. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't understand why that would impact the weaponry used.
Yeah, I agree. Number three, this comes from Pure Xbox. Phil Spencer has been playing Destiny 2 with Xbox fans. Did you happen to run into him, Jordan?
Maybe I just ran to him right now. Hopefully. Oh, shit. You know, okay. Maybe he was the one who revived me when I jumped off the ledge by accident.
Jumped off the ledge by accident.
He stopped you from committing suicide? What a swell guy.
But I mean, you know, I think this kind of expresses how much of a gamer the CEO of Xbox is, which kind of gives me comfort.
Absolutely.
Because it's kind of like you want to make sure that the people running a car company are car people. People running the computer company are computer people.
I'm still waiting for that article from Jim Ryan playing Sackboy Big Adventure online. But Twitter user Protheon documented his experiences getting into a game with the head of Xbox, sharing various screenshots of his time playing with Spencer. And Spencer responded saying, "I appreciate the help. Thanks for jumping in." So that's really cool that he even like responded. He saw that on Twitter and responded. Number four, this is probably the freakiest and yet best quick hits that we've had in a very long time. Maneater teases DLC with cryptic message and frightening hybrid sharks. So again, this is from Screen Rant. If you are not driving a vehicle right now, I suggest that you stop. Well, if you are driving a vehicle, stop anyways. Look this article up. It's from Screen Rant. It is, they have two images. One is a half shark, half bird creature that's photoshopped together beautifully. The other one, and I think this is a sexy beast in all rights, it's a shark and a horse, and it has a beautiful flowing mane tail. There's things happening in both of these pictures that if they do this to the game, like, that's
you might
that's
have remarkable. To play it.
I think I might have to just buy this game.
You wouldn't have to buy it, DJ, if you just redeemed it on PlayStation Plus like I tell y'all to do every month.
I did, but it's for PS5. It's not for PS4.
Okay, so you can play when you get your PS5, you sucker.
Yeah, next year.
Well, we may
what else do you have but time?
Sorrow. I have sorrow as well.
Make sure to watch your storage, too. I mean, hopefully by the summertime, they have the expandable storage in place, but, you know.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. All right, so... Number five, this comes from VG247. Bandai Namco Next trademark hints at direct style show for the Elden Ring publisher. I mean, Elden Ring publisher, sure, yes, but they also publish Gundam Battle Operations 2. So you know who's excited? This guy.
Did they announce anything about Gundam, or are you just hoping that they say something about Gundam?
They haven't said anything about Gundam. I hope they say something about Gundam, but we all know they're probably not going to say nothing about Gundam.
Hey, man, get your tears out now.
All right, number six. This comes from PlayStation Blog. Ratchet & Clank, the 2016, I guess, remake of the game, is now free on PSN, so get it and play it. And then the other story is that the PlayStation Store will discontinue the movie and TV side of that store. So get those and stuff.
The purchases and rentals, yeah, because there's no point to try to compete with
anything
umpteen
else.
Other streaming services.
Yeah.
Microsoft had partnered with Movies Anywhere Everywhere. So like basically their movie like purchases are transposed to that. Like it used to be Windows Media, but now like they converted Windows Media to Movies Anywhere Everywhere, so you can play it on your different devices and your TV and computer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I still use it, Microsoft's movie store, for certain purchases, but I totally understand that, you know, You know, if you're more geared toward the game side of things, there's no point in having a dedicated movie store on your console.
Right, right. I totally agree. Like that's something that they could have done away with a long time ago. Number 7, this comes from GameIndustry.biz. The Last of Us 2 secures a record 13 BAFTA nominations. So this is actually really big because this is the largest number of single game nominations that's ever been since the whole thing started in 2004. Ghost of Tsushima received 10 nominations. Spider-Man Miles Morales and Dreams got 7.
Hmm.
And Sumo Digital's Sackboy got 4. So the PlayStation exclusives account for 41 nominations overall. So
that's incredible. That's
really cool. Number 8, this comes from VGC. Rockstar owner discusses remaster strategy, says it's not interested in simple ports. This is interesting because this is Take-Two boss Strauss Zelnick, and he was on a call and they asked him about remasters and, you know, what's his take on it. And basically, he wants the remasters to be impactful. So if they are going to remaster a game, he wants to make sure that it's taking advantage of the new hardware and it's basically bringing something new to the table, which is cool.
It's admirable.
Yep.
Well, I mean, the Grand Theft Auto has been around for 8 years. They said that Grand Theft Auto, what was it, 3 through 4, including San Andreas, Vice City, and all that, came out within 8 years.
Yeah.
So basically, Grand Theft Auto 5 has been like the full duration of 4 other Grand Theft Auto games or some silly shit.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of...
I feel like there's more in there, though, and I mean, they have been adding content constantly, so I mean...
Oh, yeah, no, I saw that firsthand, but it's just astounding how much of a legacy this game has had. Like, it's literally going through 3 console generations.
Right.
3.
Right.
Crazy
stuff. This is a quick one. Number 9, this comes from VGC. Gran Turismo has been delayed to 2022, Sony confirms, and that means, Jordan, you have a free space, right?
I didn't put Gran Turismo on mine. That was Sean that put Gran Turismo on
there. I think I picked it, but I dropped it already.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, I had Forza on mine. We're still waiting for the Forza Horizon 5 announcement. So.
Oh, there you go. And, of course, that's because of the pandemic and COVID. Last,
put Gran Turismo on my list, boy. Crazy.
Now, I knew you had some interesting picks. You got God of War, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Easy
yeah.
points.
So, number 10, this comes from Push Square. Last year, the UK gaming purchases were 85% digital.
Bonkers.
Crazy.
Ain't no try to go to these stores and catch COVID for some fucking sack boy. Like, crazy. No, I mean, like, it's convenient. Storage space, quote unquote, has gotten larger.
Mm-hmm. And so is Call of Duty.
Well, yeah, Call of Duty's... Yo, I mean, I've ran out of space on my internal hard drive. Ran out of space. I only have like 400 gigs left on my 5 terabyte hard drive. So it's like,
jeez.
Yeah, like a lot of gamers are now buying these Seagates and external hard drives to keep up pace because they're not going to these stores no more. They're trying to get that shit to like that night, 12 a.m.
Goodness. Yeah, so basically, looking at entertainment as a whole, the video games accounts for 48% of aggregate sales. That means gaming is comfortably the UK's largest entertainment sector, generating almost as much money as video and music combined. Spending on games is up 17.7% year on year. So, pretty much reiterating what we're saying, like, yeah, gaming is a big thing, like, fucking get on board.
You know, it's funny, real quick, I saw an analysis about how younger people, millennials, whatever you want to call them, are spending more on video games and less on dating and having casual sex.
Because video games ain't disappointing.
Wait, Sean, you're not a millennial?
I don't know what the hell I am, because they call anybody under, I don't know what age, a millennial now.
Because you're a millennial, Sean.
Yeah.
You're 35, right?
Listen. Yeah. I was born in 85.
Yeah, so
yeah, you're a millennial.
You're right there. You're old millennial.
We're in the upper echelon of the millennials. Because I'm turning 35 this year.
So you feel special.
Yeah, you know.
So like the generations, Gen Z are the ones that are like over here TikToking and not, you know, living their lives to their fullest, I guess.
Also, who's spending money on casual sex? That's called prostitution. Come on now.
I mean, we got some people who are loyal customers. It's no longer casual.
Right. Like sex work is not always prostitution.
Exactly.
Like paying for sex. I think the GFE. I think it's like a lot of their time and energy are towards virtual experiences, worse than our generation, right. At a higher level. Like they get all their solace on Roblox and on it. Fucking nonsense.
I mean, but that was a promise to gaming, right? It was supposed to be this all-encompassing experience that you can just enjoy anytime you want, right? Right? They nailed it.
I'm supposed to go into the world of Ready Player One and find that one girl who has the scar, and she's like, oh, I'm hideous in real life, and I meet her in real life. It's like she has a smaller scar. Mm-hmm. I'm like, who wrote your character? Like, you're not hideous because some birthmark on your face. Right. Fuck Ready Player Run. With that movie.
All I know is I was promised VR in the past.
You got VR. What are you talking about?
It ain't the same, Jordan.
we got VR-ish. All right, well, that's it for the quick hits. Now it is time for the heavy hitters. Sean, I believe you are up.
This comes from Gaming Bible. Hogwarts Legacy is going to include trans witches and wizards in the character creation. What does that mean exactly?
Well, that means that they're going to have like characters that have either transgender, there's not going to be a binary between, you know, the expression of a woman or expression of a man. The real part of this story is J.K. Rowling and her.
Fuck J.K. Rowling. What?
Because she has had regressive views on the trans community. And it was kind of funny because even before this game was announced, they made it pretty clear that she had nothing to do with its creation. So, yeah, it's a step in the right direction. Like, I think a lot of
games. But I mean, like, do you start as one gender in the game and then, like, before you go out into the world, be like, hey, would you like to be. Would you like to switch over?
Does it allow you to change your character during the game experience? I don't know.
What does this mean exactly?
Well, in terms of how they're going to implement it. Yeah, that's actually a good question.
Trans people want to identify as a certain gender. So why not just, in this case, you actually get to pick your gender. So why not just start as that to begin with?
Well, I mean, like,
do you feel me?
No, because like here's the thing. You remember Saints Row? Remember Saints Row 3 or Saints Row 2?
Yeah.
Like, even though Saints Row was a different type of game, they did have one of the most flexible character creation systems I've seen of the last three generations. So in terms of like, okay, so you have a woman body, but games are allowing you to change the voice, like Cyberpunk. They're allowing you to augment things in the past that would have been locked to certain selections.
I feel you.
So, like, yeah, I think that's going to be more and more common, at least when it comes to, like, because even Mass Effect fell short in that. Mass Effect was like, all right, here are women hairstyles, here are men's hairstyles. You pick man or woman, you're only allowed to those hairstyles.
I mean, yeah, I see now in games, they don't even separate the different hairstyles. You could just put whatever the hell on you or different, you know, makeup, whatever. But, I mean, you get what you're picking up what I'm putting down. Dear listeners, please don't cancel us. It's a genuine question. I mean, like, in real life, I understand that, you know, you're born one way, you identify as this.
Mm-hmm.
In a game, you actually get to pick it at the start. So what does this mean exactly in
It's like you're gameplay? Skipping that, like, that questionable period where you're just like, all right, well, I'm identifying as this, so that's what I'm going to do. So actually, I'm looking at the article, and I'm just going to read like a little blurb. So character creation typically locks voice depth, gender terms, and hairstyles to a specific body type.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't trans inclusive a lot of the time, and the industry is steadily moving away from this static model, allowing the players to add any combination of physical attributes to gendered language. The upshot of this is that it makes the experience more inclusive to everyone.
Right.
So you play how you like.
Right. I mean,
but they're not the first game to do this, so they're making it seem like it's some.
See, the thing is,
groundbreaking shit.
they're making it seem to do that to pull away from J.K. Rowling, but
right.
The
okay.
other side to this is that I think the lead game designer or something, he was supporting.
He's trans.
No. He was supporting, okay. like, like Gamergate shit and like just all kinds of just vile shit. And it's just like,
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
This game is almost, not almost, this game is doomed. This game is doomed. And it sucks because...
But you're still going to play it.
Yeah, well...
Well, I mean, like, it's, you know, in terms of the lived experience of trans people, you know, including, like, potential listeners and people that we know, it's like, yeah, they have been excluded from this character creation space, you know, for quite some time.
Right.
And for games to at least... try to normalize this, or at least normalize this practice, is going to be the next step for improvement of character creation. Because we've seen regressive character creation as Black people in the past. You know, we've right. seen character creation that totally misses the mark when it comes to like just how normal Black people look.
Or just fucking hairstyles. It's like you get an afro, you get a Caesar. That's it.
Or just like, hairstyles. But I imagine like going time and time again from game to game to game, and just having to quote unquote adopt the binary, forced to adopt the binary. And you know, game developers and publishers in the past have tried to bullshit and say like, oh, it takes too much time, or you know, we can't put a woman character in because. I'm looking at you, Ubisoft.
Yep.
You know, because of all this other shit. But no, it's necessary, and I'm glad that they're doing it, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is something that needs to be a standard going forward. And the thing is, like, it's not hard to do because you're not... If you give the player options... And you just account for those options in the game, you can do that while you're building the game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's only difficult if you have to go back and do that retroactively. So more power to them. Hopefully it just becomes a standard.
I'm with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So next up.
Yeah, Jordan.
Take it away. So EA, like this is kind of adjacent to a story that we talked about last week. About EA and Respawn, but this seems to be the theme of all studios under EA's purview. So EA pledges total freedom for studios with game development, including Dragon Age and Titanfall. And I know that Donald was pretty angry about this, seeing that again that Anthem was just canceled.
If they got total freedom, then they need to bring back Anthem. How about that? How about that? Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think they're going to do that. I think EA kind of had a hard stance on Anthem compared to the other games, to be honest.
Yeah, no, they're not going to forget.
Because
EA's like, you got total freedom.
Everything
except.
But EA.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, this is falling into the theme of EA trying to be a quote-unquote better developer. Maybe Respawn was a harbinger of their rethinking or retooling, but it's hard to say how much quote-unquote meddling EA had with Anthem and BioWare's, you know, recent titles. But at the same time, you look back at Star Wars Battlefront 2 and a microtransaction issue that was almost, in my opinion, caused by pressure from Disney at the time to say like, yo, you guys are fucking up these microtransactions, we're getting weird heat from this part of our, you know, universe, fix that.
You mean like pulling out the microtransactions was pressure?
Pulling out, okay. I felt like more pressure was from Disney's side for them to do it, not necessarily the gamers.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's good.
Yeah, I mean, I think this will lead to better games being developed, and overall, I mean, generally, that's, you know, what we all want is these games to come out and be enjoyable experiences. It's, for me, my anger with Anthem aside, I don't believe EA with this. Like, that's where I'm coming down, because they've pulled this before in the past. Like, when they were voted as, like, worst company in the world or whatever, like, they fucking beat Foxconn. Like, the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
But, like... Then they pledged to be different or whatever at the time. And then it didn't really bear any fruit, at least from what I remember. It was just kind of like, all right. Because, like, you had the Battlefront thing. And then now you have Anthem. It's just like, all right, guys, you, whatever, just try again.
So here's a pretty poignant statement about Anthem itself related to this story and one of their leaders. They asked the question, does EA continue investing in this, something that a major portion of the community has already deemed a failure, or does the company take those resources and apply them to other franchises like Mass Effect, Dragon Age, and even Titanfall for a brighter future? So it's like EA is just trying to be more cognizant and read the room, essentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, not try to make gimmicks out of certain games, or I don't know. It's like, I think EA is trying to reform itself from being like the worst rated company in the country in terms of consumer, you know, reviews. And maybe that is through the developers that they deem creative. But as a last portion, they are allocating more resources to Battlefront. To Battlefield.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my, what we've been playing, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, you know, is developed by Criterion Games, who EA has enlisted to assist with the Battlefield efforts. I know Need for Speed fans are kind of, you know, sad about this, because usually it's been a new Need for Speed for like the last decade for the most part. And, you know, it's just, I'm kind of in the middle. I like Battlefield. I like Need for Speed. But this seems to be a smarter EA that's going to say, all right, we want to make sure that we allocate the right amount of resources to our titles and give them the necessary amount of care to make sure that they're successful.
Yeah.
So that's good. I mean, paying for Criterion, who's like one of the best arcade racing developers out there right now. I can't think of any other better arcade racing developer than Criterion right now. Maybe yeah. Codemasters. But remember, EA just bought Codemasters, so... <you know. laughs> We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think this is, as much as I don't believe them, I do feel like this is probably like the best foot forward, is making this public statement saying like, hey guys, we as EA are releasing the reins on our developers and we're allowing them to basically make the games they're passionate about. And between Mass Effect and Battlefield 6, like, if they come out and they are like quality games, EA can be like, see, we told you, like, we're being better. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where at this point for me, I need the proof. Like, they can say whatever they want. I want to see what these games come out and look like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it would be the biggest test, in my opinion, will be Battlefield 6.
Yeah.
Because they allocated Respawn and Criterion resources to this game. So, but you know,
Respawn's working on it too.
Well, like the former director, I believe, yeah. Some head person moved over to DICE LA and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you know what I have noticed is a lot of publishers are starting to do that more. They're starting to focus more resources onto a product instead of like trying to churn out 3-4 titles in the fall.
Yeah.
And of like kind of 7, 7.5, 8-ish quality. I think that's indicative of how advanced games have gotten and the increases in expectations, probably bar raised by Sony and the God of War and Spider-Man series.
Yeah.
In terms of the expectations of video gamers, like Watch Dogs Legion can't happen again for Ubisoft. You know, it's like you can't call that the AAA anymore. Like that won't qualify AAA in my book, like shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of like cross-pollination happening inside the different studios of a publisher, because as you're saying, they realize that, all right, like this game now is going to cost $70, so we have to convince the players that you want to spend the extra $10 on this game. Mm-hmm. and then they
still want you to buy microtransactions on top of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Play
yeah.
online, buy the
and
DLCs.
Maybe DLC what the hell they call them, battle pass or season
yeah.
pass
expansion mm-hmm. passes or whatever. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I also do believe that that's probably going to be the thing going forward that we see happening a lot, especially with the publishers that are a little shaky when it comes to the games that they're publishing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, like, Coalition's like, 343, hold up. Hold up there, partner. Hold up, little guy. Got you.
So with that being said, This has been another episode of Press X to Start Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit counts. In case you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at PressXNumber2Start.com. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share on our YouTube and IG platforms. We really appreciate any help you can get. Until next time, we'll be talking about WandaVision, so make sure you check that out when it releases. It's going to be a good time. Peace.